I'm so excited because in some ways it just seems like everything has come to a kind of stagnant standstill. But behind the scenes, it is not. It's still moving like that old kaleidoscope. I've seen things in visions and in the spirit. I've shared the things that I've been seeing with Ricky and with some of the team. And just really only today found that there is proof evident in the news people of the internet. So praise God. God is moving. It seems like people are asking for trouble. It seems like they're just not going to sit still until they can have trouble. But I think 90% of that, I hate to say it, is the American elite. And moreover, the New World Order. They're just things that they feel like they need to see moving and grooving and doing if they're going to have their goals met by the end of the year. The Lord told me that we would have an October surprise, and I'm sitting here listening to John's report, and there it is. He didn't even know what the Lord had spoken to me, and yet he's giving us that October surprise, so I was excited. Sometimes, may I share this? God does allow things to look much worse than they really are. And he does it because he's trying to accomplish things that no one really knows nor understands behind the veil. And sometimes he'll let these things look so bad on our side of the veil that it looks like we cannot possibly get good out of this. But he knows what he's doing. I remember, when one famous intercessor was praying over World War, I believe it was World War II, and the Lord would instruct him literally every morning before he would go to prayer with his group, would instruct him on exactly how to pray, what Hitler was doing, what other nations were doing, and what America was doing. And then he would instruct him on how to pray to change the schedule that Hitler was on. And because he did this, Hitler did not win the war. Whether you want to say America won it or you don't, Hitler did not win it. And because Hitler didn't win it, a lot of great things happened that couldn't have possibly happened otherwise. So, I said that to say this. So there was a particular battleground, the Battle of the Bulge. They were praying over that. The Lord told them exactly how to pray. He said, "Be careful, watch what I do. Do exactly what I say at the very precise time that I say it, and watch what will happen." So he was faithful to obey the Lord, to move about the way the Lord told him to pray. And consequently, Hitler and that part of his army was going deeper and deeper and deeper in the bulge until, and it looked to Hitler that America was going to lose the war right then and there. He even believed it. He knew the condition of things, the circumstances that he was fighting there, and he just couldn't see how America could possibly win that war, that battle. But when he got to a certain place, those of you who are familiar with this battle, this was the spiritual side of it. When Hitler got to a certain place, Hitler and his ranks got to a certain place, the Lord said, now. And he told them exactly what to do. And in doing it, they entrapped that particular brigade, if you will, of soldiers right in the middle of the bulge. And as a result, Hitler lost. The Jewish people were saved. World War II was brought to a close. It was just amazing. God is doing all of this secret stuff behind the scenes because I love to think that this is such a happy thought. Because intercessors were praying. The intercessors prayed exactly as they were told to pray. And because they prayed as they were told to pray, instead of their own prayers, instead of their own thoughts, they couldn't have possibly done it on their own recognizance, you might say, because they didn't know what was going on behind the scenes. The only one that knew that was God. And so, because they obeyed, because they prayed, there was a happy ending, if you can say that, to World War II. And we are in a situation again where we are seeing God talking to the prophets and encouraging the prophets to help the intercessors know how to pray so that battles can be won and evil forces can be stopped. Isn't that exciting? I think that's so exciting. And so our news tonight is I'm going to be praying or speaking, rather, a little bit about Nigeria and a little bit about Ukraine and Russia. Those are the two big heavies that we're dealing with right now that the Lord is asking us to deal with. And I won't be talking really about so much about America because we know what we have to do there. You know it. We know it. And so we'll do that. But let me just say a little bit about these two battlegrounds. First of all, here we are, still hanging around Ukraine. And Russia is wanting to get things dealt with and get it over. And really and truly, the press just wants so badly to make him look like a monster. But when you look at the poor guy, he doesn't look so monstrous. He just looks like an all-around intelligent man who has a lot of power, a lot of authority, and knows how to win wars. And you have Ukraine on the other side, which largely consists of very powerful technocrats. And so those two components make it a little rough because Russia is saying, look, I'm getting tired of this game. Let's get this game over with. All I'm asking for is da-da-da, and we can move on and leave this behind us. And the United States has got their nose into it, saying, no, 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 no. We want confrontation. We want war. And since Ukraine really is an extension of America, Ukraine is kind of dumbfounded, thinking they have to do what America says it wants to do. Remember now, remember, Ukraine was born to die. It is not a nation that the elite created, hoping someday it would be the brother to America. It was created as a nation. It was born to die. And how much better than to have a situation wherein you can implicate Russia and Putin and America, all in the same battle, all in the same war, and make Ukraine the victim so that they can move their little plan further. Ricky has told us some of their plans for various things here and there, and hopefully she'll share just a few minutes tonight reiterating some of that. She may not want to, and if she doesn't, I'll do it. But they have a plan. They have something they want to get out of this. And so what will happen to Ukraine before it's over is that, if God does not intervene, is that it will be a non-Ukraine existence. If the land makes it, it will be divided. Part will go to this area, part will go to that area, maybe Poland, maybe Russia. We already have the four hot spots that have made their plea to Russia and want to come in. They want to, what is the word I want? They want to...
be annexed?
Yes, to Russia. And so Russia is willing to take them in. They voted on it, and they told them, we're willing to take you in. They knew that if they said that the elite would use this situation to try to provoke war all over again, and that they would be responsible for keeping the people of that area protected as much as possible and not letting the elite have their way. So they knew what they were getting into before they got there. And this is one thing I do respect about Putin. He wasn't, once they made that decision, he wasn't going to back up. He knew before he ever said yes what they were saying yes to. And he's got enough integrity that he's going to walk it out with them. And then you've got Poland, you've got this country and that country, but all over that area, you've got the New World Order. You've got the elite that are planning their plans, making their plans, deciding to do what to do, how to do, with who to do, making their little trips here and there to this nation, that nation, making their phone calls, trying to get everyone on their side, including the rest of America, so that they can come out of this thing with the booty. But God keeps saying to me, I want you to keep praying. I want you to keep praying that my will be done and that the will of the New World Order will fail. And so that's how we're praying. When you look at Ukraine, you see people who look like Americans. They just look like Americans. You know, just a lot of youth there, looking to have a happy life someday. Well, maybe not so much now, but at least it was that way. And then you have Russia, who is willing to be a compatible friend next door, help them, and still trying to help them, incidentally, with food, clothes, this and that. Putin has not backed up on that. But the elite are determined they're going to have war. But the Lord said, if you will pray, we'll stop it. And I believe that. God has not provoked this warfare. What his part in it is to pull back, let man have their way, let them do what they insist upon doing, and then he's going to turn the table, and those who had secret wicked devices are going to be revealed. And I really believe that maybe for the first time in history, Putin is going to be proven not to be what the elite have been saying he is. He's going to be vindicated. I could be wrong. I'm not a military strategist. The only thing you can say about me is I pray. I pray, and the Lord has taught me how to see in the spirit and to hear in the spirit. And I think for the most part, the things that he shows me do happen only because we've got people that will pray. So praise God. Is it going to get worse before it gets better? It might. Did God fail? If that does happen, no. If that happens, it has to happen so that everything can settle down and be at peace for a time when it's over. He is not, I say it again, he is not going to let World War III happen. Aren't we thankful? You think about all those souls that would be lost if World War III happened right now before the revival. And it's just heartbreaking. But he says, if you'll pray, keep praying, pray some more. Be vigilant. Do what you need to do so I can do what I want to do. We won't see a World War III at this time. Okay, then secondly, we have Nigeria. Totally different kind of problem. Africa had a problem similar to what they're going through in Rwanda. I was not part of a prayer network at that time. Apparently, we didn't have a great prayer network spanning the globe at that time. I'm talking about the church, not necessarily WFJM, but the church. Because Rwanda experienced one of the most sorrowful things in the world, and the guy that let it happen was President Clinton. Now, before I knew about Rwanda, maybe 3 or 4 weeks before I knew the horrible, horrible event that had taken place in Rwanda during President Clinton's presidency, the Lord spoke to me just out of the blue and told me how much blood, innocent blood, he was responsible for in his presidency. I said, what? How could that be? What war could have taken that many people out? Lord, please help me understand. Well, long story short, he put the understanding right in my hand, and it was Rwanda and what occurred in that terrible, terrible time. So the world doesn't know what it costs, but God knows what it cost. And the amount of deaths that took place under the assailant's sword, children, women, youth, men, was devastating. They cried out for help, needed help, wanted help, would have done anything to get help. And our president, Mr. Clinton, this is historical information. It is in the records. This is not a prophetic revelation. Our President Clinton would not even talk to those people, let alone help them. They had no help. And in the short period of time that terrible, terrible catastrophe took place, there was no one there to help them. And the blood of that situation, at least in part, is on that man's hands. So now we're right back in Africa. Seems like the devil just won't leave that nation alone. The thing about Rwanda is that there were a lot of Christians back then, so it makes it doubly hard. But in Nigeria, regardless of what kind of numbers you get over the internet, I don't know that you're going to really find much truth in it, because, for instance, when they say how many Christians are in Nigeria, they clump together Protestants, Catholics, and there are many subgroups of so-called Protestants that are Protestants in name only. They do go to church Sunday morning, but then they go to the ritual altars Sunday night and worship their demon gods. And yet, some of these places on the internet kind of clump all those people together. So it's really hard to know how many Christians there really are. But I do want to tell you, it's not many. And we have groups, as you probably have learned through us and maybe the news, that that are determined they're going to remove the Christians from Nigeria, and that they're going to remove Nigeria as it stands today from the map. I'm not saying remove the land. I'm saying remove what is known as the nation that lives on the land from the map. They're just determined to do it. And right now, they're at the beginning of their warfare. So people are being slaughtered. It's fairly heavy, but it's not as heavy as it's going to be. One might say, well, what in the world do they want? They want the wealth, just like they do in Russia and Ukraine. They want the wealth. The Illuminati is behind this. Nigeria has tremendous oil wealth. It has tremendous diamond wealth. It has tremendous I wrote this down just a few minutes ago. If I can remember what I wrote, But there was a third thing that they have. Pardon me? Oh, well, they do have the battery. I can't remember what that's called right now either, but that isn't what I was thinking of. They have the oil, they have the diamonds and the gold. Tremendous supply of gold. Nigeria is, Ricky, did you say the fifth wealthiest nation in the world? Is that what you said to me?
Yes.
Okay, so, but it's the first wealthiest nation in Africa, right?
Right.
So there you have it. You want to know where all the money is? It's in Nigeria. And like Elizabeth mentioned, those three are the three biggest. I'm telling you, it's huge. But they also have, I don't remember if it's cobalt or what they call it, that they use in like cell phones and laptops, that kind of thing. Maybe Ricky or John might know. But there's a lot of money in Africa. But in Nigeria, the big three is what I just shared with you. And they want it. Right now, the overseers of all that money is supposedly the government. To be very honest with you, if this is my belief, I can't prove it at this point, but I can't say that God said this either. I'm just telling you, in learning the way corrupt people do corrupt things, I assert to you that the chances are probably pretty good that it isn't just the government that owns those three natural resources. I think the elite own a good share of it as well. Now, years ago, I was in prayer. I knew nothing about Nigeria. I had no reason to have seen this, except God knew where he would have me and what he would have me doing today. But I saw that the elite would go on a regular basis. I don't know if it was, I don't remember now if it was every year. I think it was every year, but regularly to an island off the coast of Africa, this side of Africa. And they would have meetings on how to destroy Nigeria so they could get the wealth. That's what they would talk about. Isn't that fun? So I called a friend of mine who is very prophetic. I told him what I saw, and I said, what are the chances that could be true? He said, it's absolutely true. Those meetings are going on and have been for some time. They do want Nigeria, and they want the people of the land off the land. And so they'll do anything to have their way. And one of the things they do, my friends, when they determine that they're going to start working toward that end, is they bring in, would you call them vigilantes?
Mercenaries.
Is it mercenaries or is it vigilantes?
I think.
Anyway, if you can tell me for sure, John, that, go ahead and speak it out. But
I'm pretty sure it's mercenaries. Vigilantes, I think, are more positive, but I'll try to look it up.
They are groups such as jihad, those who worship Islam, that they're jihadists or the extremists. There's another group called Bukharan, I think. And then another group, and that's like an ISIS type group. And then another group called the Fellini. And they're all terrorists. They're just going around Nigeria killing people. And they're looking first and foremost for Christians. And so their goal is to get rid of anything that's going to stand in the way of their bosses. And although it sounds like the jihadists are coming there from Islam, and the Fellinis are coming there from Fellini, in reality, they're being sent there from the very top of the New World Order, the Illuminati. They want everyone. And I can promise you, if these groups will destroy the rest of the human race in that country, the next that will be destroyed will be those three groups, because they're not going to leave that land to anybody. They want it because of its wealth. So what is the open door? I know I'm going to say something that people, it's going to be sounding like I'm stepping on people's toes, but I can give you so many scriptures to confirm what the Lord himself has told me. Dreams, visions, travel in the spirit. He took me up to the cloud, which was a curse, over that country. He took me up to it, to go through it, and also to walk in it. And then on top of that curse, the curse that's around the whole world. And I think that's related to us by Isaiah, maybe chapter 25. He took me to that one also that lays atop of the curse that is over the land. Now, there was a point in time when God was willing to try to help the people. He's still willing to help anyone that will turn to him for help. Please understand that. God is merciful. And he can do wonders. But the ones that he's going to reach out to help are the ones that are calling on his name. But those who are the kind of people that I just mentioned, that country, Ricky, did you say this to me today, that that country is the most corrupt country in the world?
Yes.
Honey, can you
listed as, can you hear me?
Yeah, but I was just going to ask you, just share what you know, and then I'll come back.
The country itself is listed on Wikipedia as the most corrupt country in the world. And, you know, we've been there, and we've been on the soil, and we've experienced the corruption, and we've seen the uber wealthy with homeless people living in shanties outside their home, and they don't even look twice at them. There's the uber wealthy, and then there's the extreme poverty, and there's not much in between. They have stripped this nation of its wealth and its integrity as a people, and through the corruption in the government, you know, mom was talking about the Fulani and she's Boko Haram and the bandits, and they're savage as they are raping the countryside and the cities now. You don't travel at night there. It's very dangerous to even be on the road. Even our own brothers travel by air, if at all possible, from city to city, because the highways have become so dangerous. So it's because of the corruption that is in that country. It's that deep, that steep, and it's in the government of the country. That's part of the problem. Is the government of that nation steals whatever is sent to the country to help bring aid in the name of aid. If you remember, President Trump sent quite a bit of money to Nigeria until he found out that their own leaders were stealing it from the people. Even in the midst of Boko Haram, even in the midst of the Fulani herdsmen attacks, he said, "We cannot continue to send money for them to steal from their own people." So, you know, I spoke to Ode even today about this issue, and he, you know, he has a prayer for Nigeria, and he said the only thing they could do the next day after mom released that word last week was to just cry out to God, repent, and cry out to him for mercy, because they knew that the nation was ripe for judgment because of the depth of corruption and sin. And one of the things that is, and I'll just, this will be the last thing and I'll hand it back over to mom, but one of the things that we don't think about, and this is something Shayo shared with me, is that the abortion is prevalent in the nation of Nigeria. They don't talk about it. When we had our GOE in D.C. in 2019, it was the end of 2019, and we were praying over Nigeria, and I was calling the people, the Lord led me to call the people to repentance for abortion, because he showed me that they had opened a door to these terrorist attacks because of the unbelievable amount of abortion. And it's been hard to find stats on that. And Shayo came and told me that they do, they just don't talk about it and they don't report it. He said he went back there a couple of weeks later and they were in the town square and they were crying out to God for abortions that they had that no one knew about. And so abortion is a huge, huge problem in Nigeria, as is the trafficking of humans. So I'll hand it back over to you, Mom, but I just wanted to add those things.
Thank you, honey. And believe it or not, at the very top of the, do I dare call it a totem pole of evil, is the witchcraft. The sin of witchcraft is so prevalent in that nation, that together with the shedding of innocent blood and kidnapping, which is what human trafficking is, forced God's hand to put a curse upon the land. This was not, he didn't, you know, sit up on his lofty throne and say, well, who can I punish today? It wasn't like that. He saw that the people were prone to evil. They were raised in it. When I was talking to Shayo about this at one point, I said, the Lord is telling me that the youth that is coming up is more corrupt than the previous generation. And so it is going. And Shayo said, that's true. every generation is worse than the generation before it. So they have forced God's hand to lay a curse upon the land, which he will remove when they've repented. He doesn't want to leave it there. I've been to that curse. I've been through it. Don't tell me it's not there. He doesn't want to have to do things like that. But he has no choice, because they're breaking his divine laws and mocking him in the process. And so he has to do what he has to do to save those who are good. Is he still reaching out to these people in spite of the curse? Yes, he is. As Ricky said, we've been there several times to minister to the people of Nigeria. We love the people of Nigeria, the good and the bad. But I can remember one time when I was there, the Lord Jesus picked me up in the spirit and took me into a governmental meeting where heads of state were meeting and talking about what to do today and what to do for the future. And the evil that was in that room was so terrifying. I clung to the Lord. And I said, please take me out of here. Please. I'm so afraid. The evil is so great in this room, Lord. He said, don't be afraid, I'm with you. I brought you here to see so you can understand my heart, Nita. So we stayed a few more minutes, and that sense of overwhelming evil just grew and grew until I thought I was going to lose the ability to breathe. Ricky was in Nigeria with me that particular time. So when I grabbed a hold of his arm harder, I said, Lord, please, I can't take being here any longer, please. He took me out of the room and he talked to me. He said, this is the governmental head of this nation. I just let you see. I said, the nation is being run by these people? He said, it is. And that's one of the reasons it's in the trouble that it's in. Well, you don't know this maybe, but when a curse has to be levied upon the land, the very first people it's going to touch are going to be those who are heads of state of the government. And so he has to do this kind of thing to free the people to be able to recognize him as Lord, their deliverer, he who is there and cares about them. When repentance has reached its appropriate height, I might also add, Ode was in that meeting. Ricky was in that meeting. My little granddaughter, Cassandra, was in that meeting. But when repentance has reached the point, has filled the cup, and has caused the Lord to say that the repentance has overtaken the sin, he will pour the mercy out on the land, and he will seek to start working to heal the people. Now, my friends, at this point in time, I'm telling Shio, these people practice witchcraft with their Christianity. That's what I'm seeing. He said, it's true, Mama. That is exactly what they do. And I said, how? And he said to me, they go to church Sunday morning and they go to their altars to worship and do rituals to their demon gods at night. The same people, those who say they're Christian and those who go to the demon gods to worship them. That's why I say you cannot go by the statistics that are on the internet, because they don't know this information. Shio knows. And I'm sure that Oday would also confirm it, because he knows. But God will remove that curse when the people have done what they need to do to enable him to do it. We can't break his righteous law and mock him and expect everything to be protected and the witchcraft to be covered. It doesn't work that way. Holiness is holiness. God is holy. People who are worshiping demons are not holy. God loves them. He loves them, whether they worship devils or they worship him. He loves them. But he hates sin. And because he's holy, that will always be part of who he is, the Holy One who hates sin. So we're going to pray tonight on this line for Nigeria, for over what I just shared with you, and for Ukraine and Russia, and for our government, because the election is coming up in a matter of days. So we really have to pray hard over the election. We've only got one chance to make things go right. And I think, boy, I hope I haven't given you too much, and I hope you're not offended with me for telling you the truth. You'd be amazed that there have been people who have contacted me and told me that they're really offended with me and they don't believe what I said. But I'm sorry. You know, not everyone loves a prophet and not everyone loves the message of the prophet. Then there are those who love the prophet, but they don't like the message of the prophet because they don't understand. I have no odd in my heart at all. I love the people. I know them. I love them, and I will be praying for them that God will give them light. But I hope you are here tonight on this line and willing to help us pray this thing through so that God can hold these souls in his arms and save them from the wretchedness, wickedness, and terrors of hell. I've been there too. No, you cannot imagine how bad it is unless you have been there, seen it, heard it, smelled it. So, you know, hell is forever. I don't want to see anyone go to hell. I want to see them saved from their wickedness on this earth and see them saved for their eternity.